So moved, Madam Chairman.
What are you moving?
What'd you do? Well, moving the amendments that, deleting the examined, comma, audited. And on line one.
Maybe the end.
I think that should be.
Withheld and paid.
Okay, the way I read this is the refund claim shall be paid by the department. You know, deleting all the intervening words there. And so I think the and should be taken out. It'd be refund claims where it reads that on line 27 on the previous page. And taken out all the four excess taxes, et cetera.
Including taxes withheld.
Yeah.
Comma. Shall be paid.
Shall be paid by the department.
Subject. Okay, you're right.
Okay, now I'm not sure, Steve, exactly where under the section of goes in there on line two.
That would be under this section. If would be the new line two language.
Oh, completely new line two. Completely
yes.
New line two.
Yes.
Okay.
That's part of subject to all of the following conditions would be deleted.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, line one would read, withheld, comma, shall be paid by the department. Line two read under the this section, if, colon.
Right.
Because you can audit, for example. Okay. You made a note of those.
Yes.
Is there any objection? Okay. So ordered. Is there any discussion on page 5 relative to the December 31st, 1977 date?
Madam Chair, I would move the amended amendments to House Bill 2565 dash, or the amendments noted as House Bill 2565-1 as amended.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chairman.
Representative Schoon.
Well, I still would like to see the three-year date, the three-year period extended.
Including extended?
I'll grant you that one year, this is a one-year improvement, but... I have some feeling that the period should really be longer than that. And the department has access to their records for 7 years. And that money does belong to a person who was working and had those wages withheld. And true that they may have been not very attentive to business by not filing a return, but it bothers me that money was never belonged to the state in the first place. And that... we should limit the ability of the taxpayer to get back what's rightfully his.
Or her.
Or her. Although it's correct English. not
politically sound.
That's the neuter pronoun also. Not once you're chairman.
Right? Are you the chairman?
No, I'm not.
So anyway, I think that I'd like to know what the other committee members think about that period of time. And
you're talking about 6 months, really? You're talking about three years?
No, I'm talking about the difference between 3 years and 7 years. Okay. Because the department has access to their own records for 7 years.
Aren't you giving the individual 6 more months, actually? Because it's up till October 15th from April 15th.
Oh, no. Forgetting about that. I'm looking at page one.
Yes. Line 24.
22, I think.
Now, what I'm saying is that the...
I mean 22, excuse me.
That the period to apply for taxes that were withheld or paid that were not due to the state should be changed from the 3 years as it is in the amendments to a longer period. Not necessarily 7 years, but I'd like to see at least 5, I think.
Berlina, if we were to put including, you can only have two... doesn't that take you to October 15th? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Madam Chair, for Oregon, there's a maximum of 6 months extension.
So that's really, if we put including, we're talking about 6 months more. Am I correct?
Generally, that's correct, yeah.
No, I think that excluding extensions is proper because I think it establishes a firm date. So excluding extensions doesn't bother me. It's just that I don't see why we shouldn't have a longer period of time as long as that money can be identified and it belongs to the taxpayer and the state never was entitled to it in the first place. And so I think it should be as long as the department has access to those records. Really.
I'm not sure.
Representative Hugo?
Well, as far as excluding extensions, I agree with President Schoon. The due date is a date certain. We know the due date. And when we say due date, excluding extensions, we have a fixed time in history that this has to occur. As to the comment that the money belongs to the taxpayer, I agree that the state has no right to that money. That is the taxpayer's money. However, the taxpayer has an obligation, responsibility to fulfill his or her obligations by a timely filing. And it, in fact, this whole issue is brought by an individual who elected not to have his withholding returned to him.
$15,000.
And that was his option. And evidently he made an error based on bad advice, which is why we have a bill. So I really have very little sympathy for that individual, frankly. What we're doing here is simply allowing someone a 3-year period to get the money they rightfully are entitled to.
Thank you, Chairman.
Representative Schoon?
Well, I don't have any sympathy for the guy who let his money, $18,000 or whatever it was, lay there for all that period of time.
At 18% interest?
No.
No, okay.
He lost the interest. That's what's worse. He lost the interest.
What I'm thinking of is the kid that worked for a summer and had taxes withheld, or somebody that fell on hard times and, you know, had a disrupted life or something like that, that had wages or taxes withheld from their wages and didn't really have any taxes due. And I think that those kind of people should have access to that money and be able to get it back as long as their records are available. I'm not concerned about the guy that can afford to let $18,000 lay in the state's coffers. I'm not even sympathetic for the change we're making to let him get it back, honestly. Madam Chairman, I'll move to make a amend the motion to deal this in the simplest way possible to change the 3-year period to a 5-year period.
You've heard the motion.
I'm moving to amend.
Moving
the
to amend.
Motion.
Yeah, I move the amendments as we amended them.
Okay.
And now John's moving to amend
line
where at 121.
Line 21.
Yes.
Tilda, will you call the roll?
Representatives Hanlon?
Aye.
Hugo?
No.
Schoon?
Aye.
And Burrows?
No. Motion fails. We have a motion before us to accept House Bill 2565-1 as amended. Are there any other suggested amendments to the amendment? Are you ready for the roll? Tilda, will you? This is to move it to the main committee. Yes.
Can I just remind the committee that there is a revenue impact now with this bill, and it's going to be somewhere around, well, something less than the original $1.5 million potential refunds there.
Mm. I think, from my standpoint, Stephen, comment that I think the role of the subcommittee is look at the policy questions, bring it to the full committee, and
okay.
See if we want to spend some money.
Okay.
The motion is to send it to the full committee. Tilda, will you call the roll?
Representatives Hanlon?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
And Burrows?
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. We'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 189.
Towards the front of your book, under tab 189, you have the bill.
I said we're hearing, I meant work session, I apologize.
There was still one section of the bill that you had not made any final decision on.
Well, that's Section 9.
On page 3, subsection 9, this dealt with the Department of Revenue getting a 90-day extension period to hold a conference when a conference that was requested by a taxpayer was not held in the time allowed. This language was submitted by the department as a result of the Anaconda case. And is written such that that the department could only recover any taxes, tax deficiency, and not be able to collect any penalty or interest if they subsequently prevailed.
We got caught up in some other issues, and that's a major policy question. And we should discuss whether we agree with the Senate or if the department should have another an extra 90 days, and two, if they do, should they be able to have a penalty or receive penalty of interest?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hugo.
I just moved on the previous bill to limit the amount of time an individual could claim a refund that's rightfully theirs. I would be inconsistent for me to vote to extend the period of time the department could go back into an issue by Section 9 on page 3, so I'll be opposing that language.
The 90 day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently, the Senate thought it I would guess a compromise to allow them the 90 days, but not to receive a penalty or interest. We've lost Representative Hanlon.
He's smoking one of my cigarettes. You've got one session, an hour?
10:45, but we have to go over some serious policy questions before Monday.
Okay.
Why do you want to
go? I'll just go get a 5-minute break.
Will you shake hands for 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll have a 5-minute recess.
And
that...
I'm going to go blow my arms.
It seems to me most of the discussion at this point is relative to the amendment. By the way, I broke my reading glasses if you all think I'm trying to be peculiar. On page 3, what is it? Section 4, subsection 9. The Senate was willing to provide for the department an extra 90 days. Part of that provision was they would not allow penalty or interest. Part of it arose from the Anaconda cases, you heard Steve say, which cost the state $120,000. Most of that was in interest. I'm comfortable with the language, so we need to listen to the other. Representative Hanlon or Schoon, if you have any words of wisdom. We need to take this to the full committee.
Madam Chair, I'm in favor of deleting 9. If I interpret it correctly, it grants the department an extra 90 days and I just based on the equities of the situation, if we don't include in there an extra 90 days for the taxpayer, I think you've got to go both ways. And I just don't see that we should be granting that preference, regardless of the case. I'm looking at the policy.
Okay. Elena, if we delete that subsection 9, what have we done overall, or how often is that an issue?
Madam Chair, it's not a big issue. It's only big in the terms that it could be large dollars like the Anaconda case was. Certainly, we don't like to lose an appeals request, but we do process a number of pieces of paper, and it was our feeling, and by putting this amendment in, it seemed to us that actually true tax that was owed, and on the Senate side, they said, okay, penalties and interest should be excluded, and we didn't, really didn't have problems with that because we did. We did mess up. We did lose that piece of paper, and we assessed an error, and there was nothing in the statutes, and that, the reason why we put the request in was because the courts brought it to our attention. If there had been anything that would have allowed us to send it back to have a conference, which is what the taxpayer got really basically shut out of by us assessing it, there was nothing on the books that would have allowed them to do that. And so the difficulty is having true tax that is owed. It's been audited. We spend a lot of time sometimes auditing a large corporation. And there was no problem with the tax. It could clearly be established the taxpayer did owe that amount. But because of a technicality, I mean, we did screw up. We have to admit that. The taxpayer then did not have to pay that money into the state. And it's really not the department that's suffering. I mean, it's the state funds because, you know, $100,000+ did not get into the general fund. This provision would allow for that one or two taxpayers. I don't know when it will happen again. To my knowledge, this is the only one that has happened, at least this big by far. As far as being using it as an extension, we try to process those just as fast as we can. We want to get them out of our conference and out of our hearings. So it just extends it 3 more months. But as far as it relating to a large number of taxpayers, it doesn't. That's the whole point.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions of Berlina?
Well, just a comment, not to pick on Berlina, because she didn't even get involved in the other motion. But, you know, the other one, we were looking at something that would help the taxpayer. Here we're looking at something that will hurt the taxpayer. And we seem to think that the general fund is holy and that the taxpayers are the least important. I'm not saying that to you.
This is, she happens to be sitting here at the time.
Do I hear a motion relative to any particular section, subsection, or the bill?
I have a question.
Okay.
We have proposed amendments dated January 28, 85. Have we considered those amendments from Elizabeth Stockdale? I remember going through them. I'm not sure if we adopted them. I can't remember the subcommittee taking the action on those amendments.
I'm usually pretty good about marking.
I have no record of that or recollection of that.
I remember that we had significant discussion over these. Now I don't recall any.
That's a good point.
The adverse discussion. So I would move the amendments to Senate Bill 189
as presented
from Elizabeth Stockdale, dated January 28, 1985.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. I missed it. Is there any objection to that motion? So ordered.
Now we can go to, I think, subsection 9.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hanlon?
I'd move to delete lines 32 through 38 of page 3 of A. and Gross, Senate Bill 189.
Representative Hamlin has moved to delete lines 32 through 38 on page 3 of Senate Bill 189. Is there any discussion? Tilda, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Schoon?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Burroughs?
No. Motion passes. Representative Hugo?
I would move Senate Bill 189 as amended to the full committee.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, can I bring one thing to your attention?
Yes.
Those same words are on page 5 that you just deleted, so you'll need to delete those also.
24 to 30?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Hanlon, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'd move further to delete lines 24 through 30 on page 5 of A. and Gross Senate Bill 189.
I think that we can amend your original motion. The intent is clear, so that's so ordered. And you've heard Representative Hugo's motion. Tilda, will you call the roll on sending Senate Bill 189 to the full committee? As amended and amended.
For the due pass
recommendation. Yes.
Okay. Representatives Hanlon?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Burroughs?
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you.
Now what are we doing?
Now let's talk about reconnect.
You've done 20 minutes.
We have several policy questions to talk about today. We have House Bill 2011, which incorporates apparently 2163 and 2165. We also have this little study from the CPAs. Obviously, we will want to adopt some of their suggestions. Whether we have time to adopt all of them is a question we'll have to deal with later in our discussion. One policy question we need to deal with is, do we want one bill, one reconnect bill? To me, it would be silly not to, but let's presume that's a given. We're going to have one bill, and we'll go from there. Second. Okay. Look at the front of your book so we can travel this course together.
There's a one page sheet at the beginning of your binder that has eight things outlined on it.
Are we together on probably one bill if it's feasible to take to the full committee?
I would think that would be a more efficient.
Madam Chairman, let me ask Steve, is there any particular reason why we should add in more than one? Is there one subject that is so different that it should be in a separate bill?
I see no.
Some of this is a courtesy and some of this is a policy question. I presume that we should also direct staff to draft some of the CPA suggestions into the Omnibus 2011, which is, so they need that okay before they can proceed, and then we'll talk about what we want in that omnibus bill.
Madam Chairman, I would think that we should have those potential amendments drafted. I think we should look at them before we adopt them, of course, but just going through these the other day, the CPA recommendations,
mm-hmm.
A lot of them seem to make sense, and I think that staff is going to have to look at them and do their analysis of the CPA's interpretation. I think the department should also be looking at that, and I think they have that, but we probably ought to get on with such amendments as we need, because we're going to have to incorporate those if we reconnect.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring your book down? Some of you did and some mm-hmm. of you didn't. Now, I was trying to figure out how we could do this expeditiously, and apparently, Steve, correct me if I'm incorrect. Apparently, we can draft legislation that says we will adopt the 84 code, federal code. At that point, we've automatically taken care of all the A items without, at this point, changing all the Oregon statutes that may have the wrong federal code identified by number. Now, is that correct?
Yes.
We'll see if it's
mm-hmm.
In the recommendations A through F, according to CPA organization, it says no modification necessary. What I would suggest is that let's assume the committee is going to accept the CPA report and allow staff and the department to challenge that assumption with proposed amendments. That is, the committee would be assuming that A, B, C, D, E, and F noteds are going to be adopted without any change. If staff finds a glitch in those recommendations, or if the department finds something onerous in those recommendations, then it'd be up to the staff or department to bring changes or propose changes to the committee.
If I may comment, you're not really adopting all of these provisions, because some of them,
D, for example,
administrative rules, are separate. The state has its own administrative rules, so that you wouldn't automatically be adopting that. What A refers to is by changing the freeze date or the reconnect date, you're adopting all of those federal code changes in mass that are relevant to our statutes.
Okay, I guess what I'm saying, Steve, I'm more interested in having a given that A is going to be what we're going to do, or what these other things. I'm more interested in the M classification.
Yes.
That's down on our agenda.
Yeah.
Let's deal with A.
Well, Madam Chairman.
Yes, Representative.
I think what Bruce is after is correct. And Steve added, of course, that we do have to change the date that we reconnect. So we do have to make a change to do that. But I think that Bruce's observation and analysis of this is correct, that we should let staff come to us or the department and say that, yes, we agree with these except for this or that, and that we can pretty much ourselves now avoid a discussion on these.
Yeah. But,
okay.
I guess that's what I was suggesting, and then we could concentrate our efforts or deliberations on the M changes. Mm-hmm. But as Chair said, we've got a few more points here.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the M modifications, Steve?
You have the list in the CPA book on about the third page, I guess, in the first section.
In this section?
Yes, right there.
Yeah,
that's right. That has a list of ORS sections that would have to be.
We all have M's written by it.
The ORS sections that would have to be amended then to reconnect on these specific items. But the question, I suppose, is two things: which of those do you want to adopt, and which of them don't you? But also, we are trying to arrange for Jim Gaffney of the CPAs to come down here and perhaps speak to you on Tuesday as a full committee, since he was planning to come on Tuesday anyway, to go through these M recommendations one by one in detail and use that as the basis for your understanding and decision making later. So we first had the concern about getting something drafted dealing with these. Mm. Second, your understanding of them, so that then subsequent to that you can decide which of those, if any or all of them, that you want to include in your bill.
So should we're saying somewhat, we probably could wait till we hear from Gaffney on as to how much we're going to proceed with the M's. Is that your suggestion? Is that?
I think that's the second question. Yeah. Will we be able to know what the revenue or fiscal impact of these changes will be?
Some of them, if not all of them.
Okay.
Hopefully all of them, but certainly.
The child care credit, for
example. Oh, yes.
We'll be able to figure that one out.
Yes.
I'm really, really dying to find out what payment in kind in the WIC program is going to be for us, the PIC program.
I was looking at that one. Okay, so that one we will wait to hear from Gaffney on Tuesday.
Steve, how soon will the fiscal analysis be done of these various points? Will they be ready by the time our subcommittee meets on Thursday, the majority of them maybe?
By Thursday, hopefully the majority of them, but perhaps not the total package. You may have to wait for some of them until this comes up to the full committee. We'll be reviewing the overall number and then the changes that you make within the package and how that impacts the overall total. And that may not be done then until action by the full committee.
Madam Chairman, I know that Tom is anxious for us to get on with this, and so I think that Bruce, first of all, solved the big problem by saying that we should assume that the A through G, whatever it was, are correct until challenged. But I think that we do need to get on specifically with these. We can't do it, we shouldn't do it probably before Gaffney comes down, but I think maybe we should ask him to consider at least making...